right. Hi, Martin Zender. Let's make sure you get this now as we draw some distinctions between the seventh trumpet and the last trump of the body of Christ. Nothing associated with the seventh trumpet, which ushers in the kingdom on earth, is present at the last trump. Did you catch that first word? Nothing. Nothing associated with the trumpet blast that brings the earthly kingdom in is present. No event coincides. No event of our snatching away coincides with that. The Lord descends to earth when he comes for the saints of Israel. Sets his feet on the Mount of Olives. He comes through the air for us. When the kingdom is set up, he doesn't even come to the air. When the seventh trumpet blows, he's nowhere to be seen. The messenger blows the trumpets. No judgment of the nations follows our snatching away. It's going to be a quiet event because there are not many people alive today in the body of Christ. A very quiet event. Not so the seventh trumpet. I read that earlier this week. We have the woman and the dragon. We have fire and hail. Judgment. Turmoil. Chaos on earth. Destruction. Smoke. Judgment. None of that. It's a whisper. The world's not even going to know we're gone. Your immediate relatives will know. But nobody else will. They'll think you just joined the other cult members. And we knew that guy was crazy. What he went? He's not here. Oh, and Clyde's not here either. Oh, okay. So they're in the Clyde cult. So they all want to be somewhere in some compound. That's what they're going to think. Oh, yeah. This guy listened to this Martin Zender guy. He's gone too. All right. Yeah. Got it. That's how it's going to be. No dead people are raised at the seventh trump. Brought that out many times. That's important because lots of dead people are raised at the last trump. Who knows how many dead there have been in the body of Christ? Many more dead than there will be alive. No living people are changed at the seventh trump. In fact, it's the opposite. Under the trumpets, all the trumpets, of which the seventh is a part, many people are killed. Many millions of people are killed by these trumpets. And again, Israel's resurrection doesn't take place until 75 days after Jesus Christ's advent, when he descends to the earth, touches down, doesn't touch down with us. Now, I'm going to change the topic now. At the end of the week. This is the end of the week, right? Yeah. I'm going to caress my microphone while I do it. Because I just feel the need to do this to my microphone. Because it's been kind of a rough week here. But it's important to know that we identify that section of mankind that's affected by the trumpets. Because they're not our inflictions. We're saved for grace. And if these trumpets were for those saved by grace, then you couldn't explain the destruction. But they're not. Now, A.E. Nock makes a strange statement here. When we get into the trumpets in detail, we'll look into this. But listen to this. Tell me what you think of this. Even the faithful in Israel are sheltered from its fury. What fury? The fury of the trumpets. The warfare that commences with the first trumpet, which we are going to get into mid next week, maybe Wednesday, Thursday, something like that. And this is unusual. I was surprised when I first read this. Now, we know that the 144,000 and the vast throng are able to stand because they have the sealing of God. So what's with the seven trumpets? I've been told that the trials and tribulations of the unveiling are only for Israel, but that's not true because we see a one-third of mankind killed, a one-third of earth is scorched. What's up with that? Because here it is, the nations or the Gentiles even though there are Israelites pulling the strings, the Gentiles are the ones who have taken political possession of the earth. Generally speaking, Paul brings out this truth in Romans 11. So these Gentiles must lose their supremacy. They have to be displaced. That's a nice way to put it. I always like to say displaced. So what's all that noise out there? Oh, that's Jesus Christ displacing the government of the nations with his own government. Very nice way to put it. He's killing millions of people, and by that means he's displacing the governments of the earth. And I'm happy for it. In fact, let's just look, get a sneak preview into the seventh trump. I did this the other day. We're going to do it again, 11:15. Unveiling 11:15. And the seventh messenger, trumpets and loud voices occurred in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world, here it is, became our Lord's and his Christ, and he shall be reigning for the eons of the eons. The kingdom of this world. And in Nebuchadnezzar's image that Daniel dreamed, there was a stone from a mountain that came and crushed the other kingdoms. The only kingdom that's going to be concurrent to that coming kingdom will be the fourth world kingdom, the one that we're on the brink of, the iron mixed with clay. And we're going to look at that, iron mixed with clay, when we get to the beast, the wild beast. So the seven trumpets, excuse me, I want to sneeze. I'm not holding that back anymore because we're talking about trumpets. You already know that. The seven trumpets are an expansion of the seventh seal. Remember the seals? The seals dealt with a decision, an executive decision that was carried out, like a decree that was carried out in a courtroom and that is decided by the trumpets actually bring about what the decree, what the seals are. The trumpets come out of the seals. Seven trumpets come out of the seventh seal. Hence they deal, I'm quoting A. E. Nock now, hence they deal with the double aspect of man's possession and rule of the earth. I'm going to show you next week that man doesn't possess anything. Man is so proud. Humanity thinks, even people think, that what they have is their possession. I have a deed. I have a deed to my land, and my land is mine. Well, guess what? Somebody else had a deed to that land before you. And before you, somebody else had a deed to it. And there were Native Americans who had the deed to your precious tract of real estate. Everybody wants to put down fences and lines and stakes. And when you mow the grass, by God, I'm going to mow up to my line. And it's up to you to mow over there. Why don't you mow over there? I'm only going to shovel the sidewalk in front of my house because that's my property. And I'm going to stop at the sidewalk seam because that's where my property ends and yours begins. And all this squabbling over real estate. That's what's going on in the Middle East right now. Squabbles over real estate. It all belongs to God. In countries, it so fascinates me when I look at a picture from space of the earth and you see no political boundaries, unless those boundaries happen to be such the Mississippi River or, you know, the Gulf of Mexico or some kind of natural boundary that would separate one state from another. But it's only separating states because we come to know them as states. It's not separating any states. Look at it from God's point of view. The earth belongs to the Lord and the fullness thereof. So mankind doesn't own it. We're going to look at more of that next week. The Lord is the only one has the right to possess it. The Lord, as the son of Abraham, quoting from Nock, the Lord, as the son of Abraham, has the right to possess the promised land. And we're just looking at the promised land for right now. And as the son of David, has the right to rule it. So we have possession and rule. He gave it to Abraham, but he promised the rule not to Abraham, but to David. So in order to rule it, you have to possess it. And so it's been squatted upon by imposters, by, well, God gave it to him temporarily, but everything's on loan. I've told you this about your children. They're on loan. Your land's on loan. Everything you have is on loan. Your house, your clothes, you're just passing through. You're using this stuff. And so the land belongs to God. You know, that's why I loved it when Israelites traveled in tents. So David has the right to rule. So the seals, scope of the seals with the nations as countries, I can't read this because I have so many. Look at all my markings on this book. That's why I have a trouble reading this sometimes. I'm showing it to you on the studio cam. I write over words and I can't read it. So the seals cope with the nations as countries occupying the earth's surface. The trumpets deal with them as governments. Got it. Seals versus trumpets. Countries versus governments. The government gets more specific. The country is general. The government of the country is specific. We're looking at rule, comparing that with possession. The seals deal with the possession, the countries, the people occupying the surface. The seals are open. The trumpets deal with them as governments who share its power and rule. So the seals are coming, the seven trumpets are God's messengers blaring out judgment. And so Christ returns to throw out the interlopers and to establish his government. When the seals were opened, that was a decree that there are squatters on the land and we're dealing with nations that are ruled, have their own rule. But the nations now, the possession of those nations has to pass to Christ. He has to take back the deed to what is his anyway. That's why I'm always telling you to get a head start on this by giving it to him now. Get a head start on him. Give your children to him now. You know, God forbid any of us should lose any of our children by death. God forbid. And for you kids listening to this, hello. You're my friends. I know there are young children listening. God forbid he should take your parents. But I want you to know this, that everything you have now is on loan to you by the graciousness of God. Your home, your job, your parents, your children, your grandparents. And it is the right of God to do what he wants, to do what he will with what he owns. And the good news is about this, and I know it can be very distressing to think about these things, is that he is a benign, benevolent God for you. Children out there, he's good. God is good, and he's a father to us, and he's going to do the right thing. And if you have a bad father, I am sorry about that. I wish you didn't. I wish you had a good father like my father was a good father. Fathers are supposed to picture for us the care of God. Many fathers don't. And so many people get a bad image of God because of their father. So I'm sorry if this is the case. But God is working this too for you to see something, to give you wisdom, to give you experience of some kind. And it's sorrowful and it's painful. That's why you're watching me now, because you somehow feel a fellowship with me and like I understand your problems, and I do. And I want you to know that you're not alone. Children, parents, I speak to all of you. You're not alone in this. But I want us to give God his due and to get a head start on, for one thing, being removed from this earth. Get a head start on it by not loving the earth. Get a head start on the fact that God gives and he takes away by holding loosely to things and to people. This is a scriptural outlook. And so when we look at the bigger picture now, not looking at families anymore, but nations and the government of nations, we're seeing the transference here. And the trumpets enact what the seven seals decided. That's a good way to put it. I came up with that all by myself. The trumpets enact what the seven seals decided. The trumpets take over the government of the nations that the seven seals decreed would have to give up their property to God. And so with the opening of the first seal, as we discussed, God was beginning to take over what was rightfully his. And with the blowing of the seventh trump, he is going to complete the transaction by taking over all the governments of the world. And it's going to be the best government you've ever seen.